Já está, agora sim.
Senhores deputados e dos convidados, eu, enfim, agradeço a deferência de me proporem que possa presidir esta reunião, o que faço com todo o gosto. Eu começaria por apresentar os nossos convidados e depois referir-me em inglês para que eles possam entender como é que vamos prosseguir os nossos trabalhos. Portanto, nós está em Portugal o Sr. Bastonário da Ordem dos Advogados da Palestina, que é o Dr. Fadi Abbas, acompanhado também pelo Sr. Advogado Ahmed Assa. Estão com eles as entidades nacionais que foram responsáveis por este convite, que é a Associação Portuguesa de Juristas Democratas, que está aqui representada pela professora Madalena Santos, e o MPPM, que é, ajuda-me, Movimento dos Direitos do... Exatamente, essa sigla não corresponde exatamente às letras, que é o Dr. Carlos Almeida, que tem sido, enfim, um dos rostos em Portugal de luta pelos direitos do povo da Palestina. Está o senhor embaixador da Palestina em Portugal, que também fez o gosto de estar aqui presente. E, portanto, nós iríamos talvez depois convidar a delegação a intervir e depois passaríamos a palavra aos senhores deputados aqui presentes. Welcome to the Assembly of the Republic. My colleagues gave me the opportunity to chair this meeting, having in mind that I am the oldest member of Parliament in this room. It's a pleasure to me to chair this meeting. We have here members of Parliament from several parties represented in the Parliament, but they will present themselves. So I propose a first intervention from your delegation, and after we have the possibility to answer the questions of members of Parliament or attending what they want to say in this moment. So, professora Madalena Santos, talvez, e o Dr. Carlos Almeida nos possam, enfim, elucidar sobre o convite que fizeram ao Sr. Bastonário para estar em Portugal, e depois até eu passaria a palavra à professora Madalena Santos, da Associação Portuguesa de Juristas Democratas.
Senhores deputados, Senhor Presidente, muito bom dia a todos. Cumpre-me, em primeiro lugar, agradecer esta audição, tendo em consideração que a Associação Portuguesa de Juristas Democratas, da qual sou Presidente, solicitou, de facto, esta audiência aos senhores deputados, tendo em consideração não só o convite que fizemos ao Sr. Bastonário da Ordem dos Advogados da Palestina para, neste momento em particular, visitar Portugal. Nós temos já algumas relações antigas, através também da Associação Internacional de Juristas Democratas, com a Ordem dos Advogados da Palestina. E pensámos, nesta altura, fazer este convite, tendo em consideração o agravar da situação e a forma como, de facto, poderemos, em termos também da nossa solidariedade internacional, em termos da associação, podermos contribuir de algum modo para, enfim, mitigar, se é possível, enfim, encontrarmos este mesmo adjetivo e ver de que formas é que poderíamos cooperar no sentido de uma tentativa de resolução, de encontrar a paz e os caminhos da paz da forma o mais depressa possível. O Sr. Bastonário acedeu desde logo ao convite e, portanto, aqui está. Ontem realizámos uma conferência subordinada ao tema A Palestina e o Direito Internacional. O Sr. Bastonário teve a oportunidade de transmitir a posição da Ordem e dos advogados e a situação gravíssima pela qual estão a passar, em termos não só do povo, mas também em particular da profissão dos advogados, e seguramente hoje também fará aqui essa intervenção. E, portanto, no fundo, resta-me agradecer o sermos recebidos e o empenho dos senhores deputados para também, de alguma forma, engrossarmos a nossa voz de solidariedade para com aquele povo que está a sofrer um genocídio como todos nós conhecemos. Muito obrigada.
Muito obrigado. Dr. Carlos Almeida, não pretende intervir.
Muito obrigado. Muito boa tarde a todos. Bom dia a todas e a todos. Muito obrigado pela oportunidade. A professora Madalena Santos já apresentou os objetivos desta visita e, portanto, por agora dispenso-me de mais comentários. Creio que o importante é ouvir os nossos convidados. Muito obrigado.
Muito obrigado. So, I will give the floor to the Mr. President of Bar Association of Palestine.
Good morning.
You want to translate?
Yes, no necessary. Everybody knows English.
Good morning. Actually, I'm very happy to be here with you today. It's a pleasure of mine and my colleague and the ambassador to have this visit to the parliament as a part of our visit to Portugal. Yesterday we visited the Bar Association, our colleagues at the Bar, and also the Faculty of Law of Lisbon. We truly believe that there is a strong relationship between Palestine and Portugal historically. And we also think that it's our role as lawyers, human rights defenders, and this extends to legislators also who legislate the laws, is to protect the law. And mainly within the context of the Palestinian cause, protecting the international law. And as you know, that the Palestinian story started 100 years, more than 100 years ago, since the Balfour Declaration and what happened during that mandate until what we call the Nakba in 1948, which was recognized as a day of Nakba inside this parliament in Portugal. And the continuing occupation 1967 for the rest of the historical land of Palestine. And what we went later on during the first Intifada in 1987 and after then the signing of the peace process Oslo Agreement, which was supposed to have an independent Palestinian state 6 years later in 1999. But unfortunately, despite the signing of this agreement and despite all tens of decisions from the General Assembly of the United Nations and all the international agreements, until now the Palestinians didn't get their right to self-determination as any people or country in the world. In the last few months, the Palestinians are living under more oppression. You all know, like me, and you can watch that live on television, what happened during the couple of months. And you watched the ICJ rules pertaining the measures that was taken considering the genocide that is committed in Gaza. Whether the measures that was taken during the last January or March or May, where the life and basic life conditions in Gaza is very hard. All the basic needs are cut, no health system, no electricity, no water. All the people are displaced. And my colleagues in Gaza, as a part of the whole Palestinian story, they are living the same tragedy and facing the same situation. From the more than 40,000 people who were killed during this war, we lost, as lawyers, 80 from our colleagues and their families. Some of our board members were injured. All our colleagues, as a part of the whole Palestinian story in Gaza, are displaced now, living in very, very, very bad circumstances and situation. This is the story that I think everyone knows of what's going on there, and side by side of what's going on in Gaza, the West Bank is also living a very bad condition. It's much more deeper than the apartheid system, where confiscating of land in the West Bank is continuing. Now there are more than 700,000 settlers are living in the West Bank and Gaza, in West Bank and East Jerusalem. This means that if this continues, there is no hope for having a solution if these policies didn't stop. Also, the closures in the West Bank are making the life of Palestinians very hard, where there is a separation between Palestinian communities in the West Bank, between cities, camps, villages. And this has a very direct effect on the justice sector. Because, you know, for a case to move on, you need all the parties to be at the room, whether the judge, the prosecutor, the lawyers, the parties, the witnesses, the clerks, etc. And according to this situation, with the whole physical siege that is also we should take into account on the institutions, the official institution, people are not or don't have the power to go to their work normally. This means the justice sector is paralyzed also. In the last couple of months, the arresting of people in Israeli jails has risen. More than 9,000 Palestinians were arrested in Israeli jails. 75% of them are under administrative detention, which means that they are in jail without being, or there is no accusation, including 35 lawyers, including two female lawyers. Most of them are at administrative detention, or because of what they have posted on Facebook and things like that. And this is just a small story of the whole Palestinian story. We think that it's our duty as lawyers, as human rights defenders, and according to all international standards, including the Havana Convention, that we have to protect, we have to defend the human rights. And from this side, we believe that it's time for all countries that stand always in front, defending the rule of law concept, should work hard to protect international law. And that is the only thing that the Palestinian people is seeking for under the umbrella of the international law. Thank you for your time, for having me here. And I'm happy to discuss and to answer any questions relating to this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't know if Mr. Ambassador wants to take the floor this moment.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you here today. And I have been here 7 years, and I get to know some of the politics here and the positions. But I would love to say one thing. For all these years, I felt the warmth relations with Palestine, the understanding of the cause, and the understanding to push the peace process forward. You know, the situation now is very dangerous, not just in Palestine, in the whole region, where it's close to Europe, where we share interests and visions. We have to achieve peace. The position of Portugal is the two-state solution. Also, the international community led by one of your sons, Guterres, at the UN, believes the only solution is the two-state solution to solve this conflict. And recently, you should be proud of him. He is a champion of peace and justice in the world, trying to protect international law and to bring justice to the victims and peace to the Palestinians. This issue brings the issue of recognition, the recognizing Palestine, because all countries, Portugal recognized Israel, and if they believe in the same two-state solution, Palestine should be recognized now. Second, if you believe in the two-state solution, it is time to recognize Palestine, because you know what the Israel is doing. If you read what Smotrich said yesterday, this government, we will make it impossible to have a Palestinian state, and we are going to annex the West Bank. So what you wait for, to let Netanyahu enjoy the benefit and annex more lands and to say no to the Palestinian state? And what caused this? When he went to the UN with a map, Palestine does not exist on the map. This is really encouraged Netanyahu and the right wing. It started by Trump's position when he gave him a gift, Jerusalem, and he said, don't worry, I give Jerusalem. Lack of serious position from Europe to tell Netanyahu, you cannot do it, really encouraged the right wing in Israel. And if people care about Israel, it is time to stop the right wing from growing in Israel. Israel maybe needs or deserve peace, but peace and occupation will not work together. Peace only work with justice to their neighbors. And I will tell you today, I'm leading Palestine here, being 46 years in the struggle, telling you we don't want to replace Israel, we want to live side by side of Israel. But this is no statement we hear as Palestinians from Israel. Guterres is saying the two-state solution and encourage the world to recognize it. I know what Netanyahu is saying. Even his fellow country will not believe him. They are not recognizing Palestine. It is time really to address the Palestinians' victims and say, you have right. You know what means recognition? That means I'm a human being like you. I deserve my freedom. Isn't that what is in your constitution, to support people struggling for their freedom? What did I do with the Nazis? Anything I have done except the Nazis, it was against the humanity. Why am I going to suffer because of this? Why the Palestinians we have to suffer? All my life, I'm struggling for freedom, just to be free like you. And I can see it in your country. Unfortunate, I cannot have it. My son walk in the same streets in Washington, which I used to protest the same thing, free Palestine. And I feel so sad to leave this country in 3 months without a recognition. I worked hard in this country. I know many of your parties and your people. And it's important to me, 2 days ago at the airport, when I handed my passport, the officer lady said, I wish my government will recognize you soon. This is important to me. When I walk in the streets in Lisbon, believe me, maybe you know how the feeling, people talking about Palestine and the recognition. It is an important issue in the families, in Portugal, all over the world, especially youth in America, who listened to their parents all these years about the Holocaust. Today, they are telling them, we want you to hear another story, the Palestinian story, and many of them are Jews. The question to my friends in Portugal, when you will recognize me as a human, when you will recognize me, I should be free, equally to the Israeli ambassador here. Is it unfair when he goes, he has all the freedom, and I have to sneak roads to go home? Would you accept that? Would you accept I cannot protect my land? In the morning, it could be taken by Smotrich, and he is saying loudly to the old world, what you will do for me? The country, we really, Palestinians, I tell you, maybe not political reasons, half of the kids in Palestine, they have your flags in their home because they love the sports of your son, Ronaldo. Palestinians really expect a lot from Portugal. Expect this recognition. Do you think it would be fair when you are number 20 on the list? You are should be in on the top of the list. And sometimes countries work for interest. You know, in 2027, you are running for a bid to the Security Council. Today, if you stand with us, we will not forget your position. You need us. You need the Arab world. You need many of Palestine friends on the 2027 for your bid to the Security Council. We say, please, do us recognize us. We will never forget that. We will stand with you, Portugal, on the 27. So is any reason anyone could convince me it is not time? I don't know what the time would be. When it's too late, it's not acceptable from Portugal. Portugal is a decent country, and they have interest in peace in the region. So this is really my message for you in the parliament, and I think soon you have to discuss this issue, but please be loud and clear for justice for the Palestinians in next your debate next week or so on the issue of Palestine. I want to thank you again for your support, and again, I'm leaving my position, but Portugal, it's going to be my heart. With the 7 years I lived here, the only thing I learned, the warmth of the people to Palestine and to justice. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Passemos agora aos seus deputados que pretendam usar da palavra. Não sei, seguimos por ordem. Por ordem da mesa, começamos então. Quem é que quer começar? Sr. deputado Pedro Galvão Alves? Não? PSD? Vamos por ordem dos partidos, então. O Sr. deputado Bruno de Ventura, quer começar? Faz favor. The Member of Parliament, Mr. Bruno Ventura, from the Social Democratic Party.
Hi. In the name of my party, I would like to welcome you here. What is the position of my party about this issue? It's a party that supports the government, so you all know. Yes, we are in agreement with, we agree with the two-states solution, so that's not an issue for us. We have clear statements in the United Nations about that, voting, etc. The issue is the timing. It's not if we will recognize, it's when to do it. When is the best moment to do it and what it means. So that's the position of our government. We also condemn the military intervention in Rafah, and we are taking with close to our European partners the humanitarian situation. It's a delicate issue, and I don't like to make party politics about it. I take a good listening of your concerns, and I would like only to express the official position of our government. But very very thankful for you to come here and to address us and explain your point of view.
Muito obrigado. Mr. Pedro Delgado Alves from Socialist Party, please.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for the opportunity to exchange some views. And I would address two issues differently. Some aspects directly related to what the Bar Association mentioned. But before, I would also like to point to Mr. Ambassador that obviously we, as many of my colleagues will probably state, we fully support the two-state solution. And the question of recognition and when it should happen is something that my party recently evolved on. For a long time, we felt, and for a long time, we've believed that the steps that were mentioned, actually, the historical evolution of the conflict, its solution can only be achieved through a two-state solution. Many points of hope were frustrated in the past, but the situation has evolved in such a way where it is unsustainable for there not to be a recognition of both sides as actors on the same table. So we do believe that waiting for a European common position, when it is absolutely clear that a European common position will not happen, because many states have already recognized Palestine, many states are hesitant, it's fundamental that we take that step as well. Obviously, we are aware that this has complicated implications. Which government are we recognizing? For us, it's very clear, it's the Palestinian Authority. Under orders, it's very clear it's something that does not need to be addressed fully at this moment. Like in many countries and states around the world, borders are not necessarily fixed at the moment where independence is recognized. And we do believe that the situation has become so grave in the past few months. And this step is relevant for relevant peace to be achieved. And this is the point where I asked to speak specifically and to greet Mr. Ambassador, is the fact that any hope of building peace in Palestine and in Israel is to be achieved has to be through the isolation of extremists on both sides. And as you mentioned, and I speak quite freely on this topic because I'm a friend of the Parliamentary Friendship Group with Israel. So I'm the first to say that it is in the best interest of Israel to deal with its extremists and to make sure they do not reach government and that extremists like Smotrich or Ben-Gvir don't have the opportunity to destroy the work of many peace-loving Israelis that have been trying to overcome the conflict in the past 60, 70, 80 years. And what you mentioned is absolutely fundamental. Israel needs to be safe from itself, and above all, the Palestinians and the Israelis that suffer from the extremists on both sides have to be protected from those that are making them hostages of a conflict where they have no power and no ability to overcome it. So I would like to use this opportunity to express it's not an evolution in our position. Substantially, I think we all agree since 1947 that the only way to surpass the difficulty is to having two states. What we need to do is take the steps necessary at this juncture and at this moment. Obviously recognizing as well that extremists on the side of Hamas and the way that the war is being conducted, I know I am addressing the Palestinian Authority, I know that you yourselves face the same difficulty, a solution needs to be found, but statehood is not only symbolic, but it is really relevant in terms of international law, international protection. So this is my first point. My second goes more deeply to the issues that were brought by the president of the Bar Association, because I had one or two questions where I think are quite relevant, and you mentioned them, because we're very much focused on what is happening in Gaza, because obviously the degree of horror and of loss of life is overwhelming. But we do know that in the West Bank, things are also considerably complicated, although not as much under the eye of public opinion, relating to something you already mentioned, confiscation of land, but also the increased tension with settlers that are being used by the extremist forces in Israel also to conduct this destabilizing activities. And so my question directed at the president of the Bar Association is, how much of your work has increased, even before the conflict, even before the 7th of October, how much ability do you have to stand and to support those that are in need of legal protection? On the one hand, this is considering this recent evolution. And secondly, also, obviously not at the moment, but this is out of, well, curiosity, it's also a learning experience. How much work are you able as a Bar Association to conduct in Gaza now? And how much were you able to do so even before the conflict? Not before the conflict, I mean before October. What is your capacity to be active in both territories, so to speak, considering that the government in Gaza is run by Hamas, and how much ability to act in defense of citizens there you achieve? Above all, thank you very much for the opportunity, and we hope, I think like everybody else, every peace-loving nation in the world recognizes that this is a conflict that needs to be solved. But first and foremost, not because of 80 years of discussions on international law, but because of the lives of people that are suffering, and that has to be has to come before everything else. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado. O deputado Manuel Magno pretende intervir. Mr. Manuel Magno from Chega Party.
Obrigado, Sr. Presidente. I speak in Portuguese. Primeiramente, saudar os ilustres representantes do Estado palestino e da Ordem dos Advogados da Palestina e colocar a nossa posição de que, no momento, não estão, entendemos que não estão colocadas as condições necessárias para tal reconhecimento, para o reconhecimento do Estado palestino, e que, tão logo estas condições estejam colocadas, com certeza tomaremos a decisão necessária nesse momento. Muito obrigado, presidente.
Pedir que o Dr. Raul, o favor de fazer um resumo do que foi dito.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. A little resume of what has been said. Our MP, Mr. Manuel Magno, said that, in his opinion, there's still no conditions now to establish a situation of a two-state solution. Not yet, but he's hoping that in the near time it becomes possible to happen. Thank you.
Muito obrigado. Now I'm giving the floor to Madam Marisa Matias from Left Bloc.
Muito obrigada, Sr. Presidente. Thank you so much for being here. I want to welcome the entire delegation. I'm Marisa Matias from Left Bloc. Fortunately, I had the opportunity already to visit your beautiful country several times. Not only the occupied territories in the West Bank, but also I've been twice into Gaza, and I had the opportunity also to talk with, for so many years, with refugees, both in Jordan and Lebanon. So this is a cause that is very close to my heart for a long time now, and I want to express my full solidarity with the Palestinian people and with the fight that you are struggling now. But which didn't start now. Of course, we are concentrating all our efforts in stopping the genocide occurring in Gaza, but we know that we are talking about an occupation, a long-time occupation, a full siege of Gaza, and also the arbitrary detentions of political prisoners, as you have been, as you were saying. So full solidarity and support in these fights. Here in the Parliament, we have been working in order to protect international law. And I want to refer that because it was the main topic of the intervention of the president of the Bar Association, and also Mr. Ambassador referred to that. So for us, it's really important to work in the sense of the protection of the international law. Because otherwise, if we don't do that, if there is no recognition of the international law, it will not only be the people of Gaza and Palestine to be the victim, but also the international law. And I don't know how we will proceed after that, after ignoring all the recommendations. So we have been presenting proposals not only to the recognition of the state of Palestine. Of course, for us, it's very difficult to understand how can a country recognize a two-state solution and at the same time only recognizing one of the states and not the second. So it seems to us that it's very important that this step is done. And if it is not now, I don't know when, to be honest. But not only that, we also have been presenting proposals in order to create the possibility to the Portuguese states to associate the South African process in the International Court of Justice, in order to prevent the genocide to occur in Gaza, and that we think that would be a very important position also of the Portuguese government. We do recognize the work of the United Nations, the resolutions that have been published, the recommendations, and of course we support very much not only the work of the Secretary General, António Guterres, but also of Jorge Moreira da Silva and the efforts that they have been doing over the last months. So this is a long story. As you said, I have nothing to tell you. This is a long story of occupation. But now we are facing a different step of genocide. So we will keep these efforts. Even today in this committee, we were supposed to discuss the association of the Portuguese state to the South African case in the International Court of Justice. So we hope that we can move forward. You can count on us on these efforts. And we hope that the Portuguese government and the parliament stay strong in the side of humanity and defense of human rights and international law. Thank you so much for being here.
Muito obrigado. And now I'm giving the floor to Mr. Rui Tavares from Liberal Party.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and good morning to everybody, especially to the delegation, to our guests present here today. First, I would like to address the president of the Bar Association. Thank you for your statement. And since I have not much to add to what was already asked to you, maybe you could point us to the question of Palestinian prisoners in Israel's jails and the access that lawyers have or do not have to them, and to the possibility that these prisoners, including some very famous ones, that could have an impact on Palestinian policy and on the solution to the conflict, could, in an exchange of prisoners, be released, or how do you think that they can have a means of communication with the Palestinian society so that this could provide some positive developments to the situation on the ground, as desperate as it is. To Mr. Ambassador, I don't think I can fathom that I can realize what is your state of mind now after several years here in Portugal, seeing several resolutions being passed in this parliament that point towards the recognition of the independence of Palestine as a sovereign state. The fact that this could already have been achieved even before the current crisis, and that the government has not proceeded to implement the resolutions of Parliament. As you well know, it is up to the government to implement these resolutions and to decide the moment of the recognition. There have been some steps forward. In our view, they have been more... they have been shyer than what they should have been. Last December, we have had a debate here with a vote on our resolution still under the previous government. It is true, as our colleague from the Socialist Party has said, that the position of the Socialist Party has evolved between then and now. If it had evolved a few months before, you would already have your recognition, because the question was very simple, whether Portugal should be in sync with all the member states of the European Union, or whether Portugal should try to lead the way or at least be part of a group that would act as a kind of an avant-garde regarding Palestinian recognition after the new crisis and the attacks on Gaza. And for us, it was clear for my party, Livre, which is a green left party, pro-European in this in the Portuguese political spectrum. For us, it was clear that Portugal should have joined Spain, Belgium, Slovenia, and Norway outside of the EU, as with a joint coordination to give more impact to the recognition, but not forcing Portugal to wait for everybody to be decided on the recognition of Palestine, which is in the end giving a veto to third countries on a decision that belongs to Portugal. Now we have a new government, but this new government hasn't changed much in terms of, it hasn't moved forward, in my view, much in terms of recognition of Palestinian independence. It's true that Portugal has voted for full membership of the UN. This is a welcome decision by the current government. We support that, but it's not enough. But since we do not currently have the majority for a full recognition of the independence of Palestine, it may change in the future, but we don't know when. The suggestion that I have made to the Foreign Affairs Minister in this commission a week or so ago was that Portugal should at least have a roadmap for recognition, where all the questions of national and international law would have been addressed in a clear way, so that it could be public, nationally and internationally, that would be ready to recognize from one day to the other. And this the minister seems to have taken on board and said that it was a suggestion, a working suggestion that he could reflect on. So I think that's a possibility that we could inch a little bit closer to the result that you want, and that we also agree should be the decision of Portugal. So soon we will present a new resolution. We have had a debate last week that was tabled by my party, and we will try to have another resolution, maybe with other parties, on the question of Portugal having a roadmap for recognition, and that this would be made public so that even the Israeli government understands that Portugal is very close to recognizing Palestine. I wish that this would be during your tenure here in Portugal. We still have a few months. Things sometimes evolve quickly. It's true that a few years ago people were saying that the two-state solution was dead, and now people understand that it is still the only solution. So it is not a question, but because I agree with what you've said, and I just wish that we could do it during your tenure here in Portugal. Thank you.
Muito obrigado. Sr. Deputado Pedro Neves Sousa, não sei se pretende intervir. Não? Muito obrigado. So I'm giving the floor to Mr. President Fadi Abbas for your to answer the questions.
Thank you for the for your comments, and pertaining the question, you said asked two questions. One in relation to the legal protection that the PBA can afford. Legal protection from the attacks that Palestinians might face from the settlers. Unfortunately, we clearly say that we don't have the power to give legal protection in terms of these attacks for many reasons, because all these attacks, they are covered by the institution, the formal one, and some of them are pushed by instructions from the extremists. And to be quite frank, what Palestinians feel from the experience, it's not only a feeling, it's a fact, is that if you want to go to give legal aid or legal protection, then you need to a fair trial. But this is not the case in our case, mainly when it comes to the attacks of the settlers, because you're going to a military court, Israeli military court, which is partner in the decision and in the occupation. So it's worthless from the experience to get this any protection in that way, unfortunately. And this is part of the suffering that the Palestinian people are facing. And pertaining to the PBA, it's good to say that the Palestinian, as an answer to the other question, that the Palestinian Bar Association was established in 1997 by a law from the Palestinian Legislative Council, where there is one board member between the West Bank and Gaza, 9 members elected every 3 years in the West Bank and 6 from Gaza, where we have a unified council where they choose the president and his deputy. And we have a consequence of elections every 3 years. But unfortunately, at the third day of the war, our headquarters in Gaza was totally bombarded during the attacks. So nowadays, we don't have a bar in Gaza. We have members, but with no building, with nothing. And pertaining your question, sir, relating to the issue of the jails, after Ben-Gvir took the authority on jails, things have changed. Now the prisoners, they are facing very hard time. And as I said, during the last couple of months, from the West Bank only, 9,000 Palestinians from the West Bank were arrested, with an unknown number of Palestinian prisoners from Gaza. Unknown number, unknown place of arresting, especially for Gazans. And as a part of the changes that change on the life of the prisoners, before, if you want to visit as a lawyer somebody, you need to be to have a license from the Israeli authorities to for this visit, and it took you 1 week to make the appointment for the visit. Nowadays, it might take a lawyer who's approved to visit, it's taking him 45 days. And in many cases, when you go to the jail, they say, we have a security issue, the visit has changed. So there is no continuous communication between the lawyers and the prisoners nowadays. And this is the case also with the ICRC. Now they are not allowed to visit the prisoners, including the medical staff. Everything has changed too much in the past couple of months, including amending so many military orders, because as you may know, the laws in the West Bank that are applicable by the Israeli forces is military orders, as they control it by military. So they amended so many, negatively, they amended so many military orders which affected the trial, which affected the situation of living of the prisoners, no visits to families as before, no visits to lawyers, just in a very narrow way. And this all in violation of the Geneva-related conventions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ambassador, if you want a final word? No? Thank you. Thank you very much. Sr. Deputado, resta-me então agradecer. It was an honor to me as a member of this parliament, but also as a member of the Communist Party in this assembly, to chair this meeting. Thank you very much. Muito obrigado, Srs. Deputados. Isto está terminada a reunião.